Okay, let's go to the scriptures. Our passage, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. Let's hear God's word. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its saviour. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. That's God's word, and that's our passage for today. It's a brief passage, but it's one that raises eyebrows in today's church and in today's society. With understandable reason. This many women over the centuries have suffered at the hands of the church because of the misuse of this passage. Women have been told are in terrible situations, have had these verses quoted to them to say, just put up with it. And it's also in our modern age, some more progressive minded people would say this passage necessarily is oppressive to women. There's no context ever where calling for a woman to submit to her husband is ever a good thing to do. So, with that said, I'm going to talk about this passage, and I've got 3 points. The first point is submission. The second point, the husband is the head of the wife. And the third point, Christ is the head of the church. The first point, submission. The word submission, again, understandably, as we said last week, because the submission is in the last verse of last week's passage, verse 21, we're told to submit. Every Christian here is told to submit to each other. So it's not just the women who have to submit. The men do too. And when last week I mentioned this passage, we think of submission as in force, someone forced to do something. For example, you might hear on the news, the police brought the protesters into submission. Or if you follow combat sports, you might think of two combatants on a mat or in a ring, and you say one won by submission, meaning that he had his opponent in a hold or a lock and the other person was screaming in pain and slapped the mat to stop. That's how we associate the word submission today. It's not a particularly pleasant word. And at uni, I remember discussing this concept with someone. And she said, I'm not in submission or subject to anyone. And I said, well, yes, you are. And yes, we all are. If you pay a mortgage or rent, you're in subjection to the mortgage company or to your landlord. You've signed a contract and you're legally in subjection to it. If you get a fixed monthly income that's over a certain amount, the government will get to your money before you do. It's called taxation. They make it sound nice. We will ask people to pay more tax and make sacrifices. Well, what if they say no? Oh, we're not really going to ask. It's just polite sounding language. We're subject to all manner of things. Why do you dress the way you do? Because we're subject to customs, to norms, and to values of society. This type of subjection, however, is voluntary. It's something you do as part of being a good citizen or wanting a place to live. This subjection is a voluntary subjection, and that is how the Bible uses the term submission in this context. It's a voluntary submission, gladly given, because a husband is loving his wife. Simon Bennett's coming next week and he's talking about husbands. So one commentator, who his commentary I have here, Ian Hamilton, says, love makes obedience sweet. So when you're told to subject yourself to somebody, it's to somebody who loves you very much, someone you trust, someone who treasures you and delights in you. And so it's sweet to submit yourself to that person. The most beautiful example of submission is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a submissive person. He was submissive to the will of God. He was submissive and gave himself gladly, freely, and willingly, and lovingly to his people. That's the sort of submission we're talking about. Now, there's a phrase that's used, and this is where people have misused this passage against women, and it's a scandal. The word as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Submit. Wives should submit in everything to the husbands as they submit to Christ. So that has been misused and said, right, you do as I say, woman. You wouldn't question Jesus, would you? So don't question me. If you need to talk, if you ever speak to your wife like that, repent. Because you've already disobeyed God. When it says, as to the Lord, it means submit to your husband in the things you would submit to Christ in. The commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts it another way in one of his letters to the Corinthians. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. That's the sort of thought he's thinking. So if your husband is saying to you, oh, I can go and see another woman, don't you tell anyone about it. Submit to me as you would to Christ. Christ wouldn't ask you to submit to your husband in that situation, so your husband shouldn't ask you. If your husband is slapping you or punching you or anything like that, and then he dares to say, don't you dare tell anyone. Submit to me as you do Christ. That's not, Christ would never ask anyone to submit to that. Christ would never say to a husband, do that. So you don't submit to a husband who's doing that to you. It means submit to your husband in the things you would submit to Christ, as to the Lord. Right? This isn't far-fetched. Men have used the Bible that way. The church has, not SVC, but the church historically has used the Bible that way against women. That is not what Paul is teaching here. The submission is a voluntary, loving submission to a husband who's following Christ. That's the submission that Paul is talking about. That's it. And indeed, our first loyalty to Christians, our first obedience, is to God. Peter says in Acts chapter 5, we ought to obey God rather than men. That's the sort of obedience and submission that's being called for. If any of you are suffering in a relationship like that, don't. Please don't. No one has any right to ask you to put up with any of that. And as I say, men, if you ever quote that passage, you're probably not leading your wife properly. That's the sort of submission we're talking about. So for a husband to submit to her, so for a wife, excuse me, to submit to her husband as to Christ, it's nothing more than the husband himself should be doing, submitting to Christ. Point two, why does Paul say, wives, submit to your husband? Point two, because the husband is the head of the wife. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Husband is the head of the wife. That's God's design and purpose right through Holy Scripture. From the beginning, you see it in Genesis 2, as a what I believe is a beautiful picture of intimacy. Adam has no one, and God says it's not good for him to be alone. So ultimately, he gives him a wife, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. And the famous passage that Matthew Henry wrote when he was preaching on this goes like this. The woman was made of the rib out of the side of Adam, not out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on under him, but out of his side, equal to him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. I'll read that again because it's beautiful. And it'll be in the sermon notes. Yeah, it's not in the Bible. It's a passage from a book. The woman was made of a rib out of the side of Adam, not out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet to be trampled on, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected, and near his heart to be beloved. That's God's design in marriage. And it's right the way through Holy Scripture. Marriage is what we call a creation ordinance. It's something God has ordained, has created, and it's part of nature. And as such, God ordained that the man was to be the head, a loving, protecting head of his wife, who would give all for her. The ultimate type of marriage is Christ and the church. Christ and the church. And you can read about that in the rest of this passage, which you're going to be reading this week as you prepare for next week. Christ and the church. Christ lovingly gave himself for his bride, the church. And men are called to love their wives like that. And again, just to reinforce the point, that is why submission of the wife to husband should be something delightful, because that's how the man leads his wife, as Christ leads the church, in loving, sacrificial, self-giving love, over and over and over and over again. Every day of his life, treasuring her, delighting in her, rejoicing over her, just like Christ does the church. That's the teaching of Scripture. That's where God ultimately had it in mind. Christ and the church. So, as I've said, the husband should pattern his headship on Christ. So again, if you've ever quoted, first, I stand by what I've said. If you've ever quoted these verses to your wife, make sure, again, you're probably not, but make sure that you're leading your wife as Christ leads the church. Simone started with that beautiful verse. you know, there's a book. It's a blockbuster book. It came out a year or two ago. Gentle and Lowly. Get it? If you're short of pennies, we'll have a chat about it. But it's when we, there's only one place in the Gospels, in all four Gospels, where Jesus tells us what his heart is like. And it's that passage that Simone read. And what's his heart like? I am gentle and lowly of heart. That's how a husband is to lead his wife, in a gentle and lowly way. Love makes obedience sweet. And yes, wives, you can remind your husbands of that. I've just seen some wives giving their husbands knowing looks. My wife was giving me a knowing look. That's what it is to be a man. Yes, strong, but gentle. There's a beautiful quote, I can't remember who it's by. No man is great who is not gentle. No man is great who is not gentle. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit, gentleness. How often do you pray to be gentle? Yeah, that's a searching question, isn't it? It is towards the end of the list of the fruit of the Spirit. It's the list that we all, that part of the list we struggle a bit with. We all know love, joy, peace, patience, don't we? Gets a bit foggy after that. Well, gentleness, gentleness. So the husband is the head of the wife, and that is how he is to rule. Point three, Christ is the head of the church. The second, I've already read it, but I'll read it again. As Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its saviour. Christ is the head and we are the body. Christ is the one who loves, leads and directs the church by the Holy Spirit through the word. Christ is the one who gives himself. Indeed, he gave himself on the cross. And as we talked about when we looked at the Ascension, he gives himself to us in the Holy Spirit, which is now among us. He comes to us through the Spirit, through the Word, through the ordinances, in public worship and private worship, has fellowship with us, communion with us, walks with us all our days, delights in us all our days, makes us like himself, takes us into glory, and he'll delight over us. And that'll be the ultimate wedding. Read about it in Revelation, the marriage supper of the Lamb, eternal union with Christ forever. It'll be a beautiful wedding. Only slightly better than ours that Uncle Eric led back in 2017. Yeah, 5 years in June next month. And Christ rules it by the Spirit through the Word. The Word is how he communicates to us. The Word is how he expresses his standards to us. The Word is our standard in everything. Everything. How we are at home, as husband and wife, or single people, and as parents, how we are at church, and how we are at work. There's not a part of life that is not to be governed by the Holy Scriptures, through the Spirit, under the Lordship of Christ. And while our society has moved away from this, there is something that needs to be said here. If man is the head, there are some roles in the church that should only be exercised by men. Not because women are incompetent, not because women are lesser than men, but because those offices that God ordained in the church are expressions of headship. And as such, they can only be exercised by a man. Women can and should play a full part in the church and in services. I believe those verses that tell women to be silent in church are speaking to a particular instance. Paul's talking about preaching and prophesying in 1 Corinthians 14, and he says people were chatting and disrupting and arguing, and he says, well, you all just shut up. Stop disrupting the service. Be silent. That's what Paul's saying in those passages. He's not saying there are other passages, I believe, that show women taking a full part in a worship service. We should encourage that. However, there are some roles that can only be exercised by a man because they're an expression of headship. And headship in the Bible is male. If you want to know what those roles are, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 Timothy chapter 3 will answer for you. I'm not telling you from here. Not today. Another day, perhaps, if we ever preach on 1 Timothy. But I'm not pushing my luck. This, again, we must remember, is not because God hates women or because the Bible is patriarchal, whatever that means, but because patriarchal, excuse me, in the modern sense of that word, which is a criticism. The Bible is, if you want to say male headship is patriarchal, yes, it is. But I mean the modern way that society has been so coordinated that men oppress everybody and it's terrible and everything's men's fault. I don't quite, that's how I mean when I say that. This is God's design for marriage and for the church and for humanity. And God being a gracious God, we must trust him that that is for our best. Again, it's nothing to do with women being incompetent. That's not true. So what will we do with this? The first thing to do, all of you, men and women, is to submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, if you've never trusted Christ, whether you're single or whether you're married, you need a Saviour, and our Saviour is, in the Bible, our husband. That's the picture Paul gives later on in this passage. The intimacy of husband and wife, the love of a biblical marriage when following God's word, is how Christ is with the church. Tender, loving, kind, forgiving, gracious, merciful, washing us clean, presenting us as a spotless bride. That's who Jesus is. Come to him this very day, just as you are, as Simone said, with all your sins and questions. And, well, am I good enough to be a Christian? No, that's the whole point. Come to him this very day. If you're wandering away, come back to him. If you're just turning up at church and going through the motions, but inside dead, come back to him and rejoice in him. Another application, which again I want to speak to, please don't suffer. Please don't suffer. If you are in or know somebody in an abusive relationship, don't let yourself, as hard as it might be, because I've been around long enough to know how hard it is. People say, oh, why don't you just leave him if he's doing that to you? It's not that easy. But know that the church is here for you and will love you through it. No one should go through that, ever. No man who is a man will ever do that. You know what I'm talking about. I don't need to verbalize. We shouldn't have to, but we're here for you. Please don't suffer. Another application. This may have been hard for you to hear. Well, it's been hard to preach. It's been on my mind all week. But it is a question of the authority of Scripture. It's no good praying for revival if we're going to disobey Scripture. That's mockery of God. Really is. What's the verse that everybody quotes? If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, to knowingly disobey Scripture is a wicked way. On a lot of what this passage talks about, I've not mentioned all of it, but on a lot of it, the church has turned away. This is God's word written. This is the way Christ rules his church. This is what the Holy Spirit uses to make us like Jesus. This is God's authoritative, inerrant, and sufficient word. Everything you need in the Christian life is found in Scripture. To turn away from it is a wicked way. And finally, I'm going to quote this commentary from this godly man, Ian Hamilton. It's very good. It's on Ephesians, obviously. But there's a quote, and it's for all of us. It would be appropriate now to ask some questions in closing, he says. Wives, do you submit to your husband's God-appointed leadership? Do you submit gladly out of love? Do you help him to live up to his calling? Do you pray for your husband to have the courage, grace, wisdom, and humility to be your head? Husbands, do you make it as easy as possible for your wives to submit to your headship? Do you treat your wife as your equal? Do you tell her, as the Lord often tells his bride, that you love her, cherish her, and delight in her? Do you treat her with gentleness and thoughtfulness? Do you listen to her and have the humility to lead her when sometimes you have to follow her? Consider these things. And may the Lord bless us with godly, Christ-like marriages. Amen.